Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Boston is a fantastic space to launch a firm in the technology. We have a very thriving community here.
That's Greg Drumma. He's founder of the Boston startup Gamma 3 Trading. And while Drumma is pretty gung-ho about Boston as a tech space, he's also still looking and hoping for a little miracle, an angel investor who might boost his startup with some essential early cash. And as fantastic as the tech development side of things are here, when it comes to the investment side, many look towards freer flowing funds on the West Coast, which is why Drumma and a number of other entrepreneurs and potential investors are gathering in Cambridge this week for the first ever Angel Boot Camp, an investor-entrepreneur meetup designed to encourage a new business mantra that might go something like this: what gets developed in Boston gets investment from Boston and therefore stays in Boston. Well, with us now for more on Angel Boot Camp is Scott Kersner. He's tech innovation columnist at the Boston Globe. Scott, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks again.
And also a real-life angel in the flesh, John Landry. He's former chief technology officer at Lotus Development Corp and vice president for technology strategy at IBM. He's currently the managing director of Lead Dog Ventures. John Landry, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
Well, Scott and John, let me just first ask you, the first ever angel boot camp, it conjures up images of cherubs in Doc Martens, but what exactly are we talking about here?
Go for it, Scott.
Well, the idea was to bring together a couple hundred people who either make investments right now in startup companies, often at the earliest stage before the company has an office or before they have a website or a product. But also, I think, really importantly, people who may not be angel investors yet, but could potentially be indoctrinated into the world of making these small, you know, $10,000, $25,000, $50,000 investment in startup companies that can really be key to them surviving or not.
And is this something that we currently don't have, John Landry? There's not a space or a formal methodology for entrepreneurs and investors to sort of network with each other?
Well, there's actually, you know, a great number of angel groups in Boston, which we can talk about as to one of the things that seems to be forming a lot right now are angel groups. I think the situation that was yesterday was a guy named John Pierce decided that there weren't enough angels in Boston. He was going to do something about it, so he gathered a bunch of angels, including myself, together to try to put this boot camp together to explain to potential angels what angel investing is all about, and also have some real-life entrepreneurs there, like Greg Drumma, to come to the conference and meet some angel investors so that he might be able to get funding from these new investors or, in fact, old investors that are there to explain how angel investing works.
And apparently more angel investors were at the boot camp than entrepreneurs, which you
yes,
never see,
right.
You know, never see happening. And I'm sure if they do it again, it'll be entrepreneurs beating down the doors trying to get in there.
But exactly. This time around, we had people with fistfuls of cash saying, I'm looking for an entrepreneur here. But let me ask you a question for those who maybe aren't entirely familiar with the concept of angel investing. Scott, as you mentioned, it's not venture capital per se, where you're investing millions of dollars in a business that maybe has an established model and a path forward in terms of its development. It's a smaller amount of money, $10,000, $50,000, and who can be an angel investor?
Well, there's a pretty strict definition of you need to have at least $1 million in net worth to be an accredited angel investor. I mean, obviously, you could slip some money to your friend under the table who wants to, you know, open up a hot dog stand. And no one's going to stop you, but you need $1 million in net worth. And I think that's actually changing with this new financial reform legislation that it can no longer include your house. So, you know, if you live over in Brookline and you have a $1.1 million house, you can't be an angel after this legislation passes. And the best example that I would give is a company like Zipcar in Cambridge. Everyone knows, you know, the car sharing network that they operate. They filed to go public yesterday. And in the earliest days of that company, it was really an idea before they owned any cars, before they had any customers saying, yes, I want to be a member of Zipcar. It was just a connection between two business school classmates, one of whom had money and one of whom was the co-founder of Zipcar.
Well, and that connection, actually, as you've written about, Robin Chase, the founder of Zipcar, actually invited this person that she knew from business school over to her house for dinner. I mean, is that how people are making contact with angel investors?
If the dinner's good, right?
Right. I think it's actually more formal these days, but there's something else that's causing this, what I'm calling a tsunami of angel investment, because it used to be somewhat of a small group of people that did this, even on the West Coast. But one of the things is software is still a very big area. The cost of building software companies is dramatically less than it used to be. So what happened was is software companies, of which I've been part of nine over my career, typically went out and raised venture money. And venture money was bigger money. Well, what's happened is because of the reduction in cost, now software companies can be built for far less money. So therefore, the financing for those companies is dramatically less, and it's too little, in fact, for venture firms.
I see.
Venture firms are tuned to a certain size investment, and in software at least, that doesn't seem to work anymore. So the slack is being picked up conveniently by the angel investors because they can either individually in some case, but more likely in a pool, of which there's about 10 in Boston, accumulate enough money in order to make these investments, and therefore a lot more people are making investments in this way than historically.
Okay, but Scott Kirzner, let me ask you, is it enough people? Because we opened with this idea that a lot of entrepreneurs or even investors themselves don't look in Boston for companies to invest in or money to help their new startup along. So I also note that you wrote that back in 2009, an angel investor named Bill Warner announced that he wanted to create another 1,000 new angels in New England in the next decade, implying that we don't have enough people right now who want to invest in these new companies.
Well, from my perspective, you can never really have enough angel investors is what any entrepreneur will tell you, because, you know, if they can't get funding for their idea, they may either go somewhere else, to a different part of the country to get funding, or just go back and get a full-time job, and that idea to change the world just kind of evaporates.
And we are seeing some of that here, right?
Yeah, we're seeing some. I mean, I wrote recently about a company that got a little bit of angel funding here, but then when they got there, they got some more funding from small VC firms. They found funding in the West Coast and kind of literally picked up and are in the midst of a road trip moving the company to San Francisco.
How would you two compare sort of the current mindset or culture of angel investors in the greater Boston area versus the mindset or culture out on the West Coast in California? How are they similar and how are they different?
Well, I think like everything in Boston and New England, maybe we're like a little bit overly analytical and critical about how things get done and a little bit thinky about it, which can be a bit of a hindrance. I think in California, you know, first of all, angels just get created at a much faster rate out there because you have these, you know, you have companies getting big and going public and creating lots of millionaires very quickly. I mean, when I was living out in San Francisco a few years ago, every week you'd call someone at Google and you'd get the voicemail that said, you know, basically, hey, I've left Google to go surfing in Hawaii, you know, call my replacement. And so those kinds of companies are minting new angel investors, often in their late 20s and early 30s, you know, so really young, energetic people who want to fund their friends. I think in Boston, you know, there's this desire to kind of amp it up a little bit and dial it up and get more people doing it.
Well, the elephant in the room, of course, is they have a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
we kind of lost, you know, the last large software company around here, really, really was Lotus, I think. And so we've kind of lost our mojo there, and therefore that moved to the West Coast, and those companies became incredibly successful, the Googles, the Yahoos, the eBays, et cetera. And they're spinning off two things. One is they're spinning off, obviously, money. All the guys that had stock options are doing extremely well or have done extremely well, and they'll reinvest that in companies that are founded by their friends who existed at those companies. We don't have that food chain yet, and it's very hard to see how we get it back.
So last question to both of you then. How is it that Angel Boot Camp sort of fits into that overall goal? What's the dream that you want to accomplish by bringing entrepreneurs and investors together?
I mean, I think the desire with Angel Boot Camp and with a lot of other activities is really to kind of have a cultural revolution in Boston. And, you know, that's a phrase that I really like a lot, which is, you know, the past is past. We've built great companies here. We've lost some battles with, you know, Silicon Valley companies and New York companies in the past. But, you know, that there is this incredibly fertile environment at the universities here, that students come out of those universities and create great companies. and that we can really, just by sort of, you know, breaking down the barriers between people with money and people who need money, that good things will happen.
Are you planning on having another Angel Boot Camp next year? Was this year enough of a success?
Oh, I'm sure there'll be. I wouldn't be surprised if there'd be another one in 6 months.
John Landry, Managing Director of Lead Dog Ventures, thank you so much for being with us. And Scott Kersner, Tech Innovation Columnist for the Boston Globe, thank you also for being here with us.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks.